You know I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I press on all the way. You see, I've learned a lesson from Little Lily. It was struggling beneath the miry clay, spawned by sheer desire. That Lily stand up higher makes me press on, make me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I press on all the way. You see, if God provided for a tiny sparrow, surely he will meet my every need. How can I give up when he fills my empty cup? Make me press on, make me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Makes me press on, make me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. Yeah, I'm still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way.
I would like to read something before I sing. Toots got this in the mail. It's from Voice of God, but it's very appropriate for me. So, when you take your stand for Jesus Christ, excuse me, this is from God testifying of his gifts. When you take your stand for Jesus Christ, stay there and die by it. When what God says is the truth, and don't you fear what Satan has gotten anything to do about it. Don't argue with him. Don't fuss with him. Just ignore him and walk away. If you fuss with him, he will keep you fussing day and night. See? Well, he will say, you know you're not healed. And you'll say, well, now look, Satan, I want to tell you something. Don't say it. Just say, get away. I don't want to hear nothing about you. And walk on and say, thank you, Lord. Go on, see? Don't pay any attention to it. One more thing. I've been noticing for several weeks now that, the devil's just trying to talk to me, that my voice, I've been noticing my voice, I mean, when I'm singing. That's just how I worship. That's how I get into it, you know, that does it for me, is singing and listening to music. And so I've been noticing there at home that when I've been singing, my voice will crack and it just, I thought maybe you're just getting old, you know. So, but I tried to sing a song for some people last weekend, and the whole second verse I was whispering. I couldn't. My voice left me, and the devil's not going to do that to me. He's just not going to do that to me. So that's why I'm singing today. And I may sing every service, I don't know. But I'm going to sing. Whether y'all can hear it or not, I'm going to sing. I am bound for that beautiful city the Lord has prepared for His own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I get homesick for heaven, and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. There's no disappointments in heaven, no worries, sorrow, or pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky, for all will be sunshine and gladness I see, with never a sob nor a sigh. There will never be crepe on the doorknob, no funeral trains in the sky, no graves on the hillside of glory, for there we shall never more die. The old will be young there forever, transformed in a minor of time. Immortal will stand in His likeness, we'll see the stars in the sun to outshine. I'm bound for that city, beautiful city, the Lord has prepared for His own. Sing with me. Where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and those glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold.
I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. My father is rich in houses and lands, and I'm his heir. I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. I am now a child of God. I've been washed in Jesus' blood, making me an heir to wealth beyond compare. So while here I press along, daily this shall be my song. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. My father is rich in houses and lands, and I'm his heir. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. I had rather serve my Lord, feast upon his holy word, than to own the world with all its jewels rare. By his spirit I am led, and on milk and honey fed. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. Let's stand. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. My father is rich in houses and lands, and I'm his heir. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. Lord, I'd rather worship thee with the people who are free than the pleasures of this world and season share. For my father is the king, and his praises I'll ever sing. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. My father is rich in houses and lands, and I'm his heir. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. Since salvation now is mine, for the Lord I'll shout and shine. Though I have to go through life on meager fare, rich in grace beyond recall, for my Father owns it all. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. My father is rich in houses and lands, and I'm his heir. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cry, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord, and instead with the courage bold, I stood upon his word. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Old Satan said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ the Lord is here. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Sing it to him now.
Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
See him this afternoon. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Sure appreciate that masterpiece of a message this morning. A true token. That's something we should all be, something we should be crying out within our heart for a refilling to get that true token. But this afternoon, I just want to take a little topic, respect for what God is doing now. I think God is doing something now, and if we can just look at it in the right way. And so this afternoon I want to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 105, verses 1 to 15. And before we go into the word, let's just go to the author. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word once more, Lord. And we're so grateful for the words that we heard this morning, Lord. And for the, Lord, I believe we've come with our hearts prepared and expecting, Lord Jesus. Lord, Lord, you know the needs of everyone here that's gathered this afternoon, Lord God. And we know that the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Lord. And Lord, the words that are laying in my notes and in my heart, Lord, and in the pages of this Bible, Lord, you have something prepared for whatever the need of every heart this afternoon, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll feel at liberty to move among us this afternoon, Lord Jesus, to speak to our heart, to speak to our needs, Lord, to give us what we have need of, whether it's deliverance or healing or more. Just more of you, Lord God. And Lord, surely, Lord, we all need more of you. And I believe that in this hour, you've given us power, Lord Jesus, to overcome everything that the devil's throwing at us. You've given, the word says that you've given us power to become sons of God. You've given us power to enter into a higher revelation of who you are. And I pray, God, that you'll open up the word to us tonight, Lord Jesus, this afternoon. Lord, help us to peer in, not with just intellectual understanding, Lord, but with eyes of revelation to see, Lord Jesus, who we are in the day and the hour that we're living in and how we should be looking at your word. Grant it now, Lord God, as I ask this blessing upon the reading of your word. Now, Psalms chapter 105 says, think of David sitting there crying out to God, maybe in his prayer chamber. And, you know, he would get inspired and write these songs out that would be sung in the temple. And so David said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You may be seated. You think about David crying out to the Lord and saying all those things about how that God had always been with them and protected them no matter where they went. Or you remember, as the children of Israel went through the wilderness and God was constantly with them with the pillar of fire and protecting them everywhere they went. And as Brother Aaron was speaking on this morning, when they crossed over the Red Sea or crossed over the Jordan River, and the fear of the people began to come into the people of the cities all around and of Jericho. And they looked at what was coming across, and they began to remember all the things that they had heard about God doing for those people. And it began to cause them to become fearful. That's really what respect is, and respects is what we owe to God. And you know, when you can see God doing something, and I believe certainly God is doing something in the bride around the world, and certainly God is doing something in the church here, and certainly I believe that surely you see that God is doing something in your own life. And if you don't see that God is doing something in your life, then maybe it's time to just get alone with God and get desperate that God will open your eyes up to see what God is doing in this hour. When you see what God is doing now, then you begin to get respectful of it. You begin to get fearful of it, like how the people of Jericho, maybe Rahab looking out her window, as Brother Aaron was speaking of this morning, looking out at seeing them march across and seeing them led by a pillar of fire and led by the word and God doing signs and wonders in their midst. And they began to look and see that God was on these people's side, and they began to look and be fearful. Now, Brother Bram said that in all things that we see going on, we must give respects to it. We must give respects to it. We must give respects when we come into the house of God. We give respects to this place. When we look at one another, a tabernacle for a holy God, we give respects to one another. When you hear the word coming from behind the pulpit, you give respects to the pulpit. You give respects to the office of the ministers. You give respects to the prophet that God was tabernacled in, moving in and speaking through. You give respects to that. And when you give respects to what God is doing now, that something will begin to happen in your life. And when you begin to give respects or don't give respects, if you disrespect God and what he's doing now, then something will begin to happen in your life. You see, everything hinges. You got a choice whether you will respect what God is doing or you will disrespect it. You've got a choice laying there before you. Will you respect the word that's on display? Now, you see, if you go back to Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, Solomon would say that the whole conclusion of the whole thing, if you just kind of sum up everything that we believe, is fear God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So what's your duty? What's your duty this afternoon? Your duty is to come with a respect, a fervent respect for who God is, and that we've got to lay our lives down before God, and we don't come with just a haphazard way, just laughing and frolicking like the American spirit would have you do. But we've been pulled out of the American spirit. We've been given a new spirit. We've been given a spirit that gives us a sound mind, that's transformed our thinking. So Solomon said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that's why we fear. We fear because we want to be right. We fear because we want to do right. And when you do wrong, if you're not born again, if you do wrong, you know there's maybe this afternoon sitting here, you know that you're not right. And there's something within you that you want to be right. And I want to declare to you that the only way that you can ever be right is to get born again, to get that true token that Brother Aaron was talking about this morning. The only way that you can ever be right is to take upon yourself the nature of that, the righteous one. And that's the only way that you can have a righteousness, just to have your his righteousness applied to you. So the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God. And then Brother Branham said, you cannot have respects until you have fear. You've got to have fear of God. All you think about how somebody, when they become to a place of fear, something strikes within their heart and they begin, something begins to move and something begins to pulsating in them, and they begin to respond to a holy God. Like Isaiah told that we were talking about this morning, when God got him to a place where he looked at the seraphims and he began to, his influence, that what he was looking at began to get steered away from Uriah to a holy God sitting there with seraphims proclaiming, holy, 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 and the temple began to shake, and he began to come under the atmosphere of a fearful God, something to be respected. You know, like Brother Branham would say, whenever he got in the presence of that angel, he said, you don't laugh or you don't joke, but you're there. You know that there's a presence of something beyond your mortal comprehension, something there that's come from the office of God, come from the throne of God to speak to you. And Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So this afternoon, maybe this afternoon, if you've come with a frolic or come with maybe all these worldly ideas in your mind, I want to strike fear in your heart this afternoon. Maybe you've come with all these worldly emotions and worldly ideas, but it's time to get serious about something. It's time to get serious about your soul. It's time to get serious about your life and where you're going and what's going to happen to you when you die. It's time to get serious, and it's time to fear God, because God, the Bible says that's where all wisdom starts. The Bible says that's where your duty starts. Your duty is to fear God. Now fear, the Bible would say fear is an awesome, terrifying thing. Fear is terror. Fear is related to an object causing fear. Fear, the fear of God, respect, reverence, piety. Fear is when you revere something. You come into the holy atmosphere of God and you come into the presence of God. I believe that's why in the church, you come to church to get in that atmosphere where believers are bringing their little licks of fire, not to just bring together an intellectual conception, but where the power of God is gathered together with the people. You gather together and you're sitting in heavenly places with the people of God, and you know that you're in the presence because something's moving in the building. You come into the sanctuary of the Lord, and if you need a healing touch, or you need to be uplifted, or you need to be edified, it's here in the house of God, because where his word is and where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be there. Now fear is when you get in that atmosphere. He said that don't mean you're afraid of him, but that means that you're giving respects and reverence. And when you respect God, you fear him. When you respect God, you fear him. Will you come to God consciousness? Come to an understanding that there's something more going on here than just some old tired people gathered together, but there's actually a living God congregating himself and moving and tabernacling him in the people. He said, you fear that you might displease him in some way. You fear lest you would do something wrong. I wonder this afternoon, how many of us have that kind of a fear? Where we're afraid that we'll do something wrong. We're afraid that we'll do something that will cast a stumbling block in front of somebody's eyes. Cast a stumbling block where maybe somebody would look at us and see, well, you drink, you're going around sneaking behind closed doors drinking alcohol and getting drunk and stuff, or you're going around and smoking pot and doing things and calling yourself a Christian, but yet where you should be afraid that somebody would know what you're doing and that would cast a stumbling block. I believe that ministers in the congregation alike, everybody from the top to the bottom, should live in holiness and piety, walking a straight and narrow way. Because why? What are we longing for? What are we seeking for? We're seeking, like Brother Aaron was saying, the end of the journey. We're seeking to come to the full adoption, to come to the oneness with Christ. Now, Brother Aaron said, I fear my mother. Think about the way he said this. I fear my mother. I fear my wife.
I fear my church. I fear all of God's servants, unless I should put a stumbling block somewhere in our way. I fear my mother. You know, maybe many of us, many of this morning, maybe many of you sitting here this morning have family members that are not believers, or that maybe they don't know anything about God, or maybe they know a little bit about what their denomination has told them, but maybe they've been resistant to maybe what some of the things that you've been sharing. I wonder, maybe let's examine ourselves tonight. Have we cast a stumbling block? You know, as Brother Aaron was mentioning this morning, I'm going to be referring to Brother Aaron a lot because it was such a good sermon, but the world is looking for somebody that's genuine. The world is looking for somebody that's real, somebody that can put on display the real, what a real Christian is, not some of this make-believe stuff. That's why, Brother Brown, I'm saying, I fear my church. I fear all of God's servants, unless I should put something in their way. I fear the people. I fear the people of the city, unless I should do something wrong that would cause them to think that I wasn't a Christian. You think about that this afternoon. Is there anything in your life that would cause somebody to think that you are not a Christian? If they were to uncover what you're reading at night, if they were to uncover what you're watching at night with the Netflix and stuff in the privacy of your home, own home, or what if it were to get out in public, what you're doing, maybe if a young person were to get in the car with you and find out that you're listening to the wrong kind of music, or music that sounds wrong, or maybe you're slipping out when you get really upset, you slip out with them cuss words, and maybe you think, well, it's all right and everything, it's not going to bother anything, but you see, it matters. I'm talking about fear of God's people, fear of God, fear of casting a stumbling block in front of somebody. I'm talking about toeing the line of holiness, of living right and doing right. He said doing something to hinder the spirit. You see what fear means? What it really means is care. Do you care this afternoon? Do you care about living a holy life? Do you care about coming to church when you need to be here? Do you care about getting into the Bible and seeing what the Bible says for your own self, like the Bereans did? And Brother Bram said, before you can have respect, you've got to have fear. And God demands it. He demands respect. God does. He demands it. And fear brings it. We know that fear brings respects. Now we know that God in the Bible is represented by the lion, a lion of the tribe of Judah. And whenever you would hear a lion roar in the jungle, instantly everybody would get quiet. Why? Because they're afraid. Is it close to me? Is it in the bushes? Is it about to leap out on me? And that just the voice of that lion instills respect. The voice of that lion causes people to respond. That's how God, when you hear the voice of God, when you get in his presence, it instills fear and respect. Now you see what it is, though. Brother Bram said, take, for instance, a farmer or a shop worker, and nobody pays attention to him. Look at all of our backgrounds. We come from a lot of different backgrounds, whether you're a farmer or a shop worker or a computer engineer or whatever it is. We all come from a lot of different backgrounds. But you see, you could take a farmer or a shop worker or whoever it is, and you might not respect them that much. They're a farmer or whatever, but he said, let him get a job on the police force and come down the street as a policeman with his badge and uniform on. Let that farmer get put into that office, and then see everything changes. Let that farmer, you see, it's the office. What it is, it's the Holy Ghost in the people that you're respecting. You have a respect for God and one another. You're respecting what God is doing now. That's why I'm talking about respect for what God is doing now. God is doing something in his people right now. He's doing something. He's performing something. If we can respect what God is doing right now in this church service, right now in your lives, right now in this age, he's doing something. He's bringing people to adoption. He's fulfilling his word. You know, Brother Branham said, who would President John F. Kennedy be if he wasn't president? And I'll say it maybe tonight. Who would President Biden be if he wasn't President Biden? And I'm not talking about whatever your political affiliation is. Just lay that to the side. I'm talking about the man. If he was not in that office, he would be just a man. That's how any person without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that true token would be. If you take somebody and just put them over to somebody, maybe a homeless person in the ditch or a worker somewhere out there, but then you fill them with the Holy Ghost. And now you've got God tabernacling on the inside. You're respecting God when you respect one another. You think about, have you ever watched one of those courtrooms and you see how everybody respects the judge back up there sitting behind the stand with his gavel and he's got that black robe on. But at home, maybe his kids talk all over him and his wife didn't listen to him and all kinds of things at home. But in the office of that judge, the people in that courtroom respect and they say, your honor, because they're respecting the office that judge is in. And Brother Adam said, God is God. He deserves a respect. God has demanded that for himself and for all his servants. God demands respect for his servants. His servants now, how we know that they're his servants? Because he vindicates these servants by his word. How does God vindicate his servants? He vindicates his servants by proving that they have a correct revelation that lines up with the word. By proving, because the life of that revelation is borne out. That's why Brother Adam would say you can't have faith without works. You believe and you're going to be living a good life. You're going to be living a righteous life because the faith that you believe will produce a holy life. You're not going to be out there wallowing around in all the tommy rot of the world, but you're going to be living a life that is deserving of respect. His servant, he said he takes these servants and makes them servants of God and proves that they are servants by making his word work through them servants. That's why you could take somebody that's yielded to the Holy Ghost, in power, and signs and wonders will be done in their life. The Bible says that they dream dreams and see visions, and you'll see a trail of things following behind them because it's written in God's word, and God's word cannot lie. His word is true. And then Brother Bram said, then as you respect that servant, you respect God. So when I respect you and you respect me, and we respect each other, then we're respecting God. How can that be, Brother Bob? How can that be? Because God is tabernacling in you tonight. That's what I'm talking about, that God is doing something now. He's doing something now. He's from the day of Pentecost until now, he's been tabernacling in people. And it's been growing and growing and growing until God is truly doing something now. If we can open our eyes to see what that is. If you can respect one another, when you respect one another, you're respecting God. That's why Matthew 25 says, then shall he answer them saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it to one of these least, ye did it not to me. As you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. You think about that. The least in the kingdom of heaven. A little child. Now, of course, the Bible says the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven, the one that maybe just got the new birth yesterday. If you do something to them, if you treat them right and respect them and treat them right, it's as though you're doing it to God himself. The Matthew chapter 18 says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. They've got something supernatural working in their life. That's why I want to say maybe to these young girls sitting here tonight, if a young man will ever come around you and start disrespecting you and trying to get you to do something that the Bible does not say you should be doing, you don't listen to that lying snake of a devil. You keep yourself holy. Some snake come around telling all kind of lies like the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Because listen, a real godly man that you need to be talking to is going to treat you with respect. A real Christian godly lady. And I want to say this afternoon that all these sisters in here, I admire you and I respect you because of the standard that you're trying to uphold and the standard you're trying to live. It ain't easy to live a Christian life with everybody mocking you and everybody making fun of you. But don't listen to some lying guy come around and talk a bunch of nonsense to you when you're trying to uphold a standard. Brother Adam said, we know that we being children of God, that we are a part of God, and God demands this respect, and then God shows you who his children are. He shows you who his children are. Oh my, if we could examine this afternoon how God shows who his children are. What's the effects of respecting God's word? What's the effect of coming up to God's word and discerning whether it's true or not and having the right kind of response to it? You know, in Noah's day, when Noah began to preach and he began to, all the world looked like, began to regard him like some kind of a lunatic up there. They say that there ain't even any water in the sky and you're up there preaching like a madman, building a big boat up on a hill and there's no water for miles, maybe. No water in the sky, no water around. Noah, you didn't even maybe build the thing next to a lake or something. That maybe would have made a lot of sense and everything seemed to be contrary to him. But Brother Brown said, now Noah had a revelation from God, yet it was contrary to anything that science would prove to be true. But yet he had spoke to God and God had spake to him. So if God had spoke to him and gave him a revelation of what was true, then anything, if you would give that man respect, then you would be respect. It would be accounted as though you were respecting God. And he went about preparing an ark where the scoffers and mockers scoffed at Noah. They thought that he was out of his head because he was building an ark. But God brought judgment upon them scoffers because they would not listen to the messenger of God and come into that ark under his preaching. Now see, if you would respond to Noah's preaching in that day, if you would have respected what Noah was preaching, your revelation would have taken you into that ark and sealed you behind those doors that God had shut and carried you away and taken you into another world, taking you away from all that sin and everything until they, when the doors opened, they were in a new world and there was no sin. All the sin had been cleansed off and it had been purged and now they come out and they were in a different place. You see, if you respect God, God will do something back for you. Now, Brother Adam said you can only do things to do two things. It lays either mercy or judgment. You have to accept one or the other. And there's where we stand tonight. We either take God's mercy or we stand his judgment. And you could, this afternoon, you can either take God's mercy or stand his judgment by respecting what God is doing now or disrespecting what God is doing now. In Moses' day, Brother Ram said the people should have understood according to the scripture that God was going to deliver them and was going to bring them out of Egypt. Because you could go back and read the promise of God to Abraham and understand that God, that they were going to sojourn in the wilderness for so many years and then God was going to bring them out. You could go look back in God's word and recognize. But as soon as God got his man ready and sent him down into Egypt, they had no respect for him. They turned him out and said, will you slay us as you did the Egyptian? And you see, they begin to look at Moses' faults. They begin to look at his failures and they begin to wonder, is God really this with this man, even after all the many signs and wonders that have been performed by him, speaking, turning the water into blood and gnats appearing and frogs coming up out of the water and all those different things. And Brother Brown said the old generation that laughed at Moses and so forth and would not accept the message, that generation died off and Moses come into another generation after they'd seen all those signs happen. And then they come to the Red Sea and found out that the very God that had performed all those signs here at the Red Sea doubted God. The very first thing that he was able to make a way of escape. If God sent the messenger and vindicated by the signs that he was the messenger sent from God, then it's up to them to obey this messenger. Exactly. Mike, you think about all the many signs and wonders that we've seen in this day, just signs that was constantly a constant stream of things, healings happening and going back and looking at what Brother Branham said and his message. Even, you know, even that the picture of the pillar of fire that we hang on our wall was taken by our critics. The critics took the picture of the pillar of fire. Look at Joshua and Caleb. They stayed right by his side. Yes, sir. Whatever Moses was in, they was in it too. Whether Moses was right or wrong, they stayed right with him anyhow because they know that God was a messenger. You think about what a bold statement that is, whether Moses was right or wrong, whether Moses within his own human nature was right or wrong. You know, Moses killed an Egyptian, but yet God was going to use that man. Moses had a speech impediment. He couldn't even talk right. He stumbled and stuttered over his words, But yet God had chosen that man. He was going to use that man. You see, they got all hung up on his faults and failures. They started looking at the man instead of the office that he was in. Moses faltering at the Red Sea, where God began to scold him. He said, "Why cry? Speak. Don't you know what you're supposed to be doing?" And maybe the people began to look at what Moses' failure in that moment. Moses, you know, Moses had a temper. He come down off the mountain when God gave him the Ten Commandments, and he saw what the children of Israel were doing, and he busted it all over the rock because in his own human self, he just got so fed up with the people that didn't seem to be responding. And he had that temper that was manifested so many to later on. He struck the rock when God told him to just speak at it. And you can look at that human frailty and say, "Well, you know what? I don't believe that God is with you anymore." Moses went and married an Egyptian, and it looked like that would be the wrong thing to do, but yet the Bible said that God told him to do that. Brother Branham said that God wanted him to marry Zipporah, and he needed to marry Zipporah, but he needed to marry a little hot-headed woman that would yank that would throw that bloody circumcision at him and said, "You've been preaching this gospel, but you ain't even taking care of your own house." He needed a woman that would tell him that straight. And you see how you can get so caught up in looking at somebody's humanity that you forget to think, to forget to realize that God is still doing something in somebody's life. Whether it's a minister, whether it's the brother or sister sitting on the pew next to you, God is doing something right now. And you got to respect what God is doing. Respect one another. He said there one day we find out that even Miriam, a prophetess, and Aaron, the high priest, made fun of Moses' wife because she was an Ethiopian. The thought, wasn't there enough women of our own group to marry instead of going down there and marrying that woman? That wasn't Moses' choice. That was God's choice for Moses. And when they made fun of it, that angered God in such a way until he struck Miriam the prophetess full of leprosy. Moses' own sister, what about that? Why did she get struck with leprosy? Because she disrespected the office. She disrespected the Spirit of God moving in God's people. Her a prophetess. She was a prophetess. The word, the Spirit of God would work in her life. But she failed to recognize where the anointing was. What was she doing? She was making fun and irreverence to God's messenger, the messenger of the covenant of that day. And she was irreverent. God demands respects. God sends his message. You listen to it and you reverence it. Don't care if they call it a bunch of holy rollers or whatever they call it. Let the world do what they want to, but you give respects. You think about why they called it holy rollers. It's because people would get, early Pentecostals would get so under the anointing that they would fall down on the floor and they begin to roll across the floor and run around through the building praising God. And you could see the effect of the anointing in their life, and people begin to laugh and mock at that. You see, what he's talking about is when you begin to see the effect of the Holy Ghost in somebody's life, don't mock at it, but be reverent toward it. That's why we come to the sanctuary of God with shamefacedness and reverence. Now, that's what reverence means, a sense of shame or honor, modesty, bashfulness, reverence, modest. Modesty means that's why our women clothe themselves, because they want to be modest, because they're conscious of God doing something in their lives. They're modest. They want to cover themselves up. Bashfulness, reverence, regard for others, and respect. What is reverence? It's being conscious that there's something going on. A deep respect for someone or something. Profound respect and love. Excuse me. Don't you fear God? In other words, you talk about Moses, you're talking about me. If you can't respect Moses, you don't respect me. He said, "Haven't I proved you among that he's my servant? And you have no reverence for him at all." What would that be for a lesson for the people of this day? No respects, no honor. And now he said, and because you didn't do that to Miriam, that's the reason you got leprosy. That's the reason these things has went, because you ought to have known that this was my servant. You do know it. So when you say something against him, you're saying it against me. What do we respect? We're respecting the word for this day presented in flesh. The word for this day manifested in flesh. We're reverencing our little licks of fire gathered together in this building. We're reverencing joining our faith together, coming together as believers, so that when you, if you're in need of something, you can have somebody that you respect pray for you, somebody that you know is in touch with God. You see, we got a Bible from God and the correct interpretation of that Bible, and that's what we're reverencing. We're reverencing this afternoon that we're hearing from God and that God is doing something. I was watching this little portrayal of when the United States split from England, and I think it was John Adams went over to talk to the king after our independence. And you think about what a scary thing that would have been for John Adams to step in front of a king that had just went to war with us. And he approached in reverence and fear, not coming in there all laughing and everything. See, when you come to a king, like Cain did, well, you can just take my way or leave it. I don't really care what you say, but you come with reverence. And you know, John Adams or even Brother Branham, when he went to the king of England, he had to approach in a certain way and walked in backwards and walked in. I think John Adams had to bow three times or something like that. There was a correct approach to the king. And there's a correct approach to God, and it's not just through haphazard and laughing and things. And Brother Bram said, if that was the attitude of God in that day, and God can't change, God wants us to respect what He's doing. He demands it. You either respect that, or something else is going to happen. Now, I'm not talking about this morning. I'm not talking about cultish respect, where you just respect somebody. They go out and they're alcoholic, and you're still going to church and you're listening to them or something. There's all the people that we've seen go out, abusers and things, going out and fornicating and stuff like that. That's getting into cultish mindset. But I'm talking about respecting something where the Word of God has been proven out, where you can see God living on display. We're talking about respecting the present tense, spirit filled unfolding of God's word. And then Brother Bram said, I know of three boys one time that mocked communion in the church. No of them. And they went up in the hotel room. You know what communion represents? When we come and we get together and we take communion, you're taking the wine and you're taking the word, the bread. It's a symbol of the Spirit of God quickening the word in your life. And just as you eat that bread and that wine, it's going to turn into molecules in your body, and it's going to make your body grow. Just as when you eat the word and the spirit quickens that, it's going to make your spiritual body, your supernatural body, your theophany body grow on the inside of you. It's growing. And so they began to mock that communion in the church. He said, and they went up in the hotel room and got some ham sandwiches and a bottle of whiskey. And had their communion up there. You see why this is not something to play around with. You see, if God is really in this, there's not something to just mock at and laugh at and jeer at, but there's something real going on here. And he said they began to make fun of the communion they had in a Pentecostal church. And less than 3 months from them, one of them was dead and two of them was in the insane institution. You can't disrespect God. You've got to respect God. Don't make fun of the people in the spirit, Brother Bram said. He said, don't talk about people that's worshiping in the spirit of God. How many times have we heard people do that? Somebody will be praising God and running up and down the aisle, maybe in a special meeting, and maybe you'll hear somebody that don't quite have the right understanding of what's going on, and maybe they'll say, well, they don't know what I know. You see how you're playing around with fire when you begin. What if you're blaspheming what the actual Holy Spirit is doing? You see, well, people won't make fun of somebody maybe sleeping in church, but let somebody get a blessing one time, and somebody will begin to jeer and say, well, I wonder if you drank too much coffee, or I wonder if you drank too much before that service. You got to respect God. He said, you've got to believe it. Watch those who really believed it and watch what happens. You've got to respect it. Now, Jezebel sure was an example of this day. Jezebel with her painted eyes and Brother Bram said how she disrespected Elijah. Elijah was actually her pastor. She should have been going over to Elijah's church. She should have been sitting under his teaching and listening to what he said. And he said, oh, she wouldn't receive that. Goodness knows she was an atheist or an infidel or an idol worshiper. And she had her own pagan priest. She wouldn't receive it at all. And she disrespected him. She hated him. Why did she hate him? Because he was telling the truth. And in all that telling of the truth, it looked like there was a lot of strange things happening. The whole nation was without water, and looked like a lot of kids were dying, and a lot of chaos it looked like. But she just built up within herself all this hatred. And there she was with her painted up eyes and her disrespectful attitude. And what happened to her? God let the dogs eat her in the street because she disrespected the message that Elijah was preaching. Sitting there with that disrespect, with her painted up face and her idolatry and her lipstick wearing and word denying and murderous, going and killing Naboth, trying to get his vineyard. Why? Because her whole attitude, her whole mindset was, I don't have to do what he says. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to that stuff. I don't like it. I don't like all these children dying. I don't like us being without water, and I don't have to listen to what you said. Maybe she said, I don't need all this holiness, and I don't want your holy rolling. I don't want a real genuine anointing in my life. But you see, God demands respects. You've got to have it. You ever get anything from God, you're going to respect God, and you must do it from your heart, the bottom of your heart. You must do it. You see, that's what this, you look around, it's this American spirit that's taken effect, even in the young people of this day, even in the young people of this message, and it's caused the young people caused the old people, many of them, to get disrespectful, where they look at the preaching of the God and of the gospel, and they don't want it no more. You know what the American spirit is? The American spirit is just laughing at everything. Ha, 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 ho, ho, ho. You hear the gospel preached, and you just want to go home and laugh about it. You laugh out in the parking lot and laugh everywhere you go. The American spirit is whistling through the graveyard, knowing that one day you're going to come to an end and walking by a grave spot that one day you might be inhabiting, but yet you go through whistling a little tune because you're just ignoring what God is doing right now. He said, could you imagine that little Jezebel with that painted up face stomping up and down that floor saying, that old hypocrite causing all these little children out here to suffer. See, sometimes it's past our mental understanding. Sometimes you can look at things going on in the church and you don't understand why maybe somebody's being treated the way, or something was said to somebody. I don't understand that. Like Naaman there. I don't understand why Elijah won't come out and meet me, and why he's telling me to go dunk myself 7 times in the old muddy river. I don't understand why he won't come out and shake my hand. I don't understand why he won't come to my house and do what I want him to do. But Elijah was trying to bring him back to God, trying to win a nation back to God. Elijah's message did look pretty bad, didn't it? Children suffering, people suffering, cattle dying, sheep dying, no water nowhere. The night's hot and sultry. The sun is bright as brass in the skies through the daytime for 3 years and 6 months. And Elijah's sitting up on the mountain saying, not even dew will fall till I call from him, while ravens brought him food. He was sitting up there relaxing next to the brook while God took care of him. Why? Because he respected God. And so God respected him back. That's what God wants. Sometimes God will take you through a rough spot because he's trying. He wants you to respect him. And Brother Brown said, oh, how they hated him. Oh, how they hated him. Miriam disrespected it. Aaron disrespected it. No matter who you are, Christian or not Christian, you've got to still bring respects to God and respect what he's doing or suffer the consequence. It's either receive it or go into judgment. Either one you want to. Respect what God is doing. Respect what God is doing. That means respect the deacons. That means respect the music. That means respect the music that's playing. That means respect the ministry. And that means respect your parents. Because if your parents are Holy Ghost filled Christians and they're trying to do what's right for you, then that means to respect them. You know, that's why the Bible in Leviticus chapter 20 says, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him, because there's a consequence for disrespecting your mother and father when they're trying to present the gospel before you and you disrespect that. You're not disrespecting just your mother and father, but the office of the Holy Ghost is within them. The Holy Ghost is within them. So they present to you the right way to live and the right way to act. In the right way to do, and you disrespect that. The Bible says in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. I think this afternoon maybe we'll find out how to actually respect God. That if we respect one another, we're respecting God. If we respect our parents, then we're respecting God here on this Mother's Day. Maybe some of the older ones, if you look back at the times, maybe when we've all got times where we disrespected our parents. Surely where we said things that we regret. But now as you get older, you look back and you remember that your mama and daddy were trying to do the best for you. Your mama and daddy were trying, they were doing their best. Maybe you remember back when your mama and daddy were praying long hours for you and you weren't doing right. But yet they were calling out to God for you. And God began to work in your life. You see, that kind of thing, that deserves respect. A mom and daddy will get gray and bald headed because they're crying in the midnight hours for their children, seeing their children do things that are wrong and making wrong decisions. But something within their heart is crying out, and God will answer the cry of a mother and a father. God will answer. And every one of your children, every one of us adults, we need to respect our parents, honor our mother and father. Brother Bram said, I've seen young people sit in the meeting and snicker and laugh in a meeting in less than 24 hours be crushed into the streets. I've seen young people sit in a meeting in 1 year when I was in a place, and next, maybe within 6 months, go back to the same place, and practically every one of them was gone or laying stricken somewhere with diseases and things. That's right. You have to respect it. And just because you're young does not exempt you from having a choice. Just because you're young or old or whatever your age is or your stature in life, you've got a choice. You've got the ability to, this afternoon, to respect or disrespect, to accept or reject, to believe or not believe what God is saying, what God is doing in this hour. In Proverbs chapter 20, it says, Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. His lamp shall be put out if you disrespect your mother and your father. In Deuteronomy 21, it said, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his mother and father lay on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, in the New Testament, I'm not saying that we need to go out stoning people. That's not what we believe. But the Old Testament, you can look at the Old Testament type and know for a surety that there is a consequence for disrespecting what God is doing. There's a consequence for disrespecting your parents, trying to apply the token over your home and trying to set a standard of holiness over what you watch on the TV and what comes out of your mouth and whether you drink alcohol or not, or go out partying and smoking cigarettes and smoking pot. There's a consequence for disrespect. And that's why we've got to teach our children to respect what God is doing. I think one of the greatest parables in the Bible is when Elisha followed Elijah over and kept his eye on him until he saw Elijah go up in the chariot of fire. And when he came back, on his way back, he was met by all these little children. All these little children who had been taught by their mother and father to be disrespectful. To say things around behind the minister's back and say things that, well, I don't know. I don't really know if Elijah really did go up in that whirlwind. I don't really know if Elisha really has the same anointing that Elijah did when he come back. I heard that he smacked the water with the robe, but I don't know if it really worked or not. And they began to sow all this disrespect in their children until their children began to make fun of the man of God when he came by. And what was the effect of that disrespect in those children's life? They died. Their effect was death. But why? Because they had been taught by their mother and father to disrespect the word of God, what God was doing now. That's why we've got to respect what God is doing now. We've got to respect what God is doing in our homes. We've got to respect what God is doing in our church. It wasn't disrespecting the man. It was disrespecting his message. He was a successor to Elijah. He had the anointing. The spirit of Elijah was upon him. He'd went right up there and done the very same things that Elijah did. And now this very same anointing that was on Jesus Christ is on the church. The very same anointing that's doing the exact same works. And surely how much more we should respect one another if the same works are being done in our midst. He said they disrespected it, and they disrespected Elijah because he believed in Elisha because the Spirit was upon him.
And the people, I bet they laughed to one another, said, "Hey, hey, looky," they'd say, "that bunch of holy rollers, fanatics, saying that man went to heaven without dying. Horses come down. We don't see any. We didn't see any evidence of all that." See, those children have been told that at home. And Brother Bram said if they'd been taught reverence and respect, they'd have walked out there before that prophet of God and have asked for prayer for themselves. But they've been taught to snicker and laugh and to make fun. You got to respect what God is doing. You remember that story that Brother Bram told of that girl that one night Brother Bram was preaching away and he saw her get up and she started going out of the building. And something just moved within him and he started calling out. He said, he pointedly called out to that young girl that the Lord is calling you. And he called her to come to the altar and receive her salvation. But something within her just hardened up and she went on out. And she said, one day he met her and she said, well, Brother Bram said, he said, she laughed in my face when I called her to come to Christ. She happened to be one of the deacon's daughters. And standing at the door that night, she waited for me when I come out. She said, I want you to know something right now. Don't you never embarrass me like that again. She was disrespectful to what God was doing right now. He said, I said, God was calling you. And she said, nonsense. I'm young. I got plenty of time for that. But my daddy's got enough religion for all of us at home. My daddy's got enough religion for all of us at home. I'm young. You ain't never too young to accept Jesus when he's calling you. If you feel impulse setting in your heart this afternoon, it's time to respond. Don't put it off. Don't disrespect the call of God. She said, my daddy's got enough religion for all of us at home, but your daddy ain't got enough religion for you. You need it for your own self. You've got to have your own experience. You've got to have your own token because you can't go in on your mama and daddy's coattails or on your minister's coattails or on Brother Branham's coattails. You've got to have your own experience. But that's what Brother Brown said. He said, not enough for you, sister. Everyone has to have their own religion. And she said, if I want anybody to talk to me about that, I'll get somebody that's got some sense, not somebody like you. Somebody that's got some sense. I said, go say what you wish to. It won't bother me. It don't bother me, but someday you'll regret it. And the next time he saw her, she said, I could see my mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake. Her heart had gotten so hard that she said, I don't even care anymore. You see, that's a dangerous place to get when you go so far that you just don't even care anymore. If there's an ounce of care in you tonight, I want to say that there's hope. You have not gone too far. There's an ounce of care. If you're trying to run back to God, it ain't too late. If you're trying to make things right, then there's still grace for you. He said, she came back with her underskirts hanging down, slopping with a cigarette in her hand and offered me a drink of whiskey. And that's how he met her again. That's the fate that God is trying to save us when he calls you, when he's calling. You see, when you don't respect what God is doing, there are consequences. But when you do respect, what God is doing now, there's a blessing. Remember that little woman in the Bible that lived down there in Shunem. And she saw Elijah come through a few times. And she said, you know, she said, won't you come in and eat a little bit with us? And he started coming in and she told her husband, she said, you know, this man's a little bit different than maybe a lot of the denominational teachers that we've heard. Maybe all the other kind of people that say that they talk about religion. This man's different. You see, she was able to discern that there was God moving on the scene. I wonder how many of us, when we listen to sermons out there, listen to sermons maybe from other churches, can you discern? Can you discern what's true or not? I rejoice when I listen to somebody preaching the truth, preaching from a revelation. I believe that's what God wants us to be able to do, is to be able to tell when something is right or wrong. And instead of disrespecting him like Jezebel did, she respected that man of God. And she said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to build a little room for him. And we're going to set a table over there and we're going to put a candle on it. We're going to have a little stool in there. And whenever he comes by, he's going to have a place to sit. And the next time Elijah come by, he went into that. She pulled him on in, showed him what they had made. They got the contractor out, built it all up. And Elijah went in there and found that he had a place to rest. He found out that this little woman respected him in a way that a lot of other people didn't. This was real respect. This was a real, she might have been rich, but that didn't matter. She respected him. And he said, what can we do for this woman?
And he called her, and she said, she didn't ask for nothing. She just said, well, we know we live with all our own people. We got our own, but we're happy. We're satisfied. And he began to talk to Gehazi, and he said, you know, she doesn't have a child. And so he told her, about the time of life, this season, next year, you're going to have a child. Even though you're old, it don't matter whether you're old. It don't matter whether all the doctors have told you it's impossible. But see, she had a blessing because she received a blessing because she respected what God was doing in her house. She respected God, and when that little child got older, it was out in the field working, and a headache come on, and it had a little stroke, it had a heat stroke out there working, and it fell over and died. And she knew that God, she knew who she had met, that this man had a connection with God, and she had a respect for that man. So she went chasing after him, and he came back to the house. She waited on, you know, the story. I'm not going to draw it out. And after he died in his mother's arms. And he laid himself over on that child, and the child came back to life and sneezed. Why? Because sneezed seven times. Why? Because she had respect to the man of God. And Brother Ram said, because of a reverent woman. Because of a reverent woman. Like, you can have a little sister Hattie, somebody that looks like don't amount to nothing's living in a little shack in the mountains, that her husband died because a tractor fell over on him. Somebody that looks, the whole world doesn't look on with any kind of respect, but yet God will respect somebody that respects him. Because of a reverent woman, or woman that respected him, a man that respected him and believed him, would be a man of God. Because she respected the man of God, God demands respect. And you think about Martha, the respect that she gave Jesus when Jesus come walking in after Lazarus was already in the grave. He came walking in, it looked like 3 days late, and she didn't run up to him and say, well, I don't understand why, I don't understand this and that, and you should have been here, and scolded him, all that. She came with respect. She came with reverence. You know, everybody wants to make a big deal out of Mary, because Mary, you know, the Bible says that Mary, she wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and hear the word. And Martha was always the one in the kitchen cooking and trying to keep things clean and worrying about whether there was crumbs on the table or not, and trying to tidy up the place while Mary was sitting in there. But Brother Brown said Mary had a part. It come time for her. She had a time to stand and show her respect. And you know, every one of us have a time where it comes time for us to stand and show our respect for God. Mary wanted to hear the word of God, so she just sat around and listened at him. She didn't care whether the pillowcases was changed or whether the curtains was dusted. But Martha always wanted to cook him a good dinner. But she wanted him to do something for Jesus in her way. And Mary wanted to do it in her way. So when Jesus came walking up 3 days late, and she didn't come running at him, telling him, scolding him, and saying, well, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. But what did she do? She ran right straight where he was, fell down at his feet, and said, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Because she respected the presence of God in her midst. He said, oh, there you are. What was she doing? She was respected. She was in the presence of God, and she respected him. What if we could say that to someone tonight, that we respect, Lord, if thou would have been here, to know, to recognize that God is in our midst. The Bible says in John chapter 11, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Could we come with respect this afternoon? Knowing, respecting that God is in our midst. What if we could say that? Brother Brown said, what if we could say that to someone tonight? Oh, my brother, I believe that what you ask God, God gives it to you. The same results would come. Isn't that why the Bible says, if you've got anything wrong with you, you come and let the elders pray over you, and your sins will be forgiven you, and your the slate will be wiped clean, and you'll receive your healing and all those other promises. Why? Because we're not coming here with just a vain gathering, but we're coming together with respect for what God is doing in our midst, for respect for what God is doing now. He said if she had disrespected it, it would never have worked. But that was from her heart. If you can't respect the man, respect the office he holds in God. Amen. Respect the office. Yes. The office of a minister. The office of a pastor, of a deacon. The office of somebody that can help you. The office of being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, he that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So if you receive the word that's coming over a pulpit and you believe it and you respect it, it's as though you receive it from God himself. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What's a prophet's reward? You heard the word of a prophet and you respected it, and now you get a blessing from that. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What's a righteous man? You can't be righteous without the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you can be righteous. If your mother and father are righteous and you respect them and you receive what they have for you, their words of encouragement and their words of life that they share with you, you're receiving it as though it was from God himself. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Why? Because it says, though you're giving a cup of water to God, if God is tabernacled in you and somebody gives you a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, because they respect the God that you serve, the God that lives in you, it's the same as they gave that cup of water to God himself. There was a little woman that she had a daughter that was possessed by a devil. And she came to Jesus and she said, "Oh Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And she was calling him son of David, but she didn't have no right to that title because she was a little Greek woman. She had heard somebody else using that title, but she didn't know what it meant. And so Jesus turned to her and he said, maybe he was thinking, "I'm going to give her a little trial. I'm going to see if she will really respect me, if she really knows who she's talking to." And Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." I wonder sometimes, you know, maybe sometimes in your Christian journey, you can look back and remember maybe when a minister said something a little bit harsh to you. Maybe somebody said something harsh to you. And what will we do? You look back along the road of life at so many people who were offended at something somebody said, and they went off and went away because they could not respect what God was doing now. Sometimes we got to look past all the little things, all the little afflictions, all the things that the people are saying, because it's for our good. It's God working, God doing something in our midst. And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of that daughter." Why? Because she believed it. She respected it. If God would answer his prayer for others, she thought he'd answer prayer for her. And she knew that what he said was the word of God. If it was the word of God for the Jews, it was the word of God for the Gentiles too. Whatever he said, that's how she was coming, with respect, with faith, believing. And Brother Bram said that caught him real quick when she said, "Yeah, but even the dogs, even if I'm a dog, give me a little bit of the crumbs." Even if you can come with that kind of fervency and that kind of, maybe that kind of despair, that kind of sincerity. She was respecting God as she respected him. And we respect God as we respect one another. Can we respect one another? That's why the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray-headed man, and honor the face of the old man. And fear thy God, I am the Lord." You see an old man in the church that's lived a long life and maybe made a lot of sacrifices, their due respect. Maybe people might have hurt you in the past or done things maybe that maybe you remember wrongly. But it don't matter, because the Bible says that you shall rise up before the hoary head. You give honor to those that have lived life before us, that have paved the way for us and lived life and done things to make our lives a little bit easier. That's why 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." That means when an elder is walking by you, you greet them and you are polite to them, and maybe you open the door for them and you do nice to them. You don't turn your back on them. "Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility," which means nobody's bigger than the other. We're all, that's what a minister is, as a servant. So the minister is really the least of all. The minister is the one that should be opening the doors and washing the feet. That's why Jesus was the first one to wash the feet of the disciples. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So if you honor your father and your mother, and you respect your father and your mother, there's a promise in God's word that he will let you live a long life if you honor your father and your mother and respect them, to not rile back when they're trying to do right and trying to set an example. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, we got all those examples that we can look in the Old Testament and all those scriptures and all those examples. But what about today? What is God doing now? And I'll be closing here in just a moment. We got all those examples from long ago. But we've got an example here in Joel chapter 1:25 that says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. We've got a promise. That's what God is doing now, that God, by the preaching of the gospel, by this message that we have heard, that we respect, is restoring everything that was lost down through the seven church ages. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. And Joel chapter 2 verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. We've got a promise that that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We've got a promise. Now, you know, go back into the Old Testament and look about how when David was anointed by Samuel, that he was anointed and he went on. And then he was anointed by the tribe of Judah. And then he was anointed by all the tribe of Israel, all the king, and he became king of all Israel. He was looking for that. He got anointed by Samuel, but he was looking for that anointing. He was looking for an anointing to come to put him into position. That's what the Bible says in Malachi 4:5-6. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. He'll rotate our hearts back to the original faith. And you see, that's what God is doing now. That's why we have a respect for this message. That's why we come to church with a reverence, knowing that God is doing that now. And Luke chapter 17, it says, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that is what God is doing now, as revealing the Son of Man. In Revelation chapter 10, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. That is what God is doing now. I'm talking about God is going to anoint a church. God is going to anoint a church with the same anointing that Brother Branham was anointed with. The same anointing that Jesus Christ was anointed with. Because it will be the Godhead bodily again, back in flesh, manifested in the body of the bride. Do you know that story was typed out in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that they received power from God when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went out doing all sorts of things, and they went out testifying and healing the sick. But then in Acts chapter 4, they got a refilling. In Acts chapter 4, after a while of going and preaching the gospel and healing that lame man at the gate beautiful and testifying in front of all the Pharisees, they got a refilling. They got to a place in Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And what's going to make you in one accord? It's not our own petty ideas and our own thoughts about what's wrong or right in church and who's doing this or that. But what's going to make you in one accord is the word of God coming in your life, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, to bring you into a place where you're thinking just like God thinks. And they got to a place where they were in one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in this. And when they had prayed, you can go read it for yourself in Acts chapter 4. And they began to pray. And I believe they were coming to a place where they knew that they needed, what they needed was a true token. And let's follow the line of thinking now. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They come out of there with a refilling. And what we need in this hour, I believe what's happening right now, is God is on the scene to give us a capstone feeling, to give us a special anointing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon the word that we have been packing in. Just like when Solomon made that temple and he put the word, he was waiting for that Ark of the Covenant to move in. And when the Ark of the Covenant slid into its place, then the Shekinah glory came down upon that temple and it filled that place. The place was shaken there in Acts chapter 4. The place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They got to a place where they were so filled that they didn't care about who had more money. They didn't care about who had property. You can have it. I'll help you. I'll help you with your doctor bills. I'll help you out with whatever you need. Because what had happened was the Holy Ghost that had failed on the day of Pentecost had been rekindled in their life. You see what's taking place now in the church of the living God is the Holy Ghost is in our midst to rekindle what we had, to rekindle our first love. The Holy Ghost is moving in our life if we can respect what God is doing. He's on the scene now in a special anointing. He's here. Brother Ram said in divine healing, he said, oh, it's such a marvelous thing to read this New Testament, Old Testament, any of it. But the fourth chapter of Acts this morning, where we start for a little preview now, we're going back. This is during the time that the church had just been rekindled. And what's going to rekindle the church is when the fire of the living God comes up onto a people that had been packing that word in until, because it's adoption time with a special anointing. You know, when on the day of Pentecost, that Peter came out and he began to declare that this is that. He began to declare that God is filling the church. He began to declare that he began to identify what was taking place with the book of Joel. He began to declare all these things. But I believe that Brother Branham's message came to declare that this is that, the thing that we've been looking for. This is that God is filling his church. This is that God is filling his church with adoption power. This is that God is capping off his church. This is that God is manifesting himself in fullness. And that's what he's doing now. If we can respect what God is doing now, God will give us a blessing to realize that God is on the scene now to fulfill his word. Brother Ram said all those great respects and so forth. All those great respects back then. But today somehow it's different. Today somehow it's different. God can do something today and people will laugh at it. I believe that we've been different today. He said about 40 years ago when the Holy Ghost first began to fall, what the people do, locked up the preachers, called them holy rollers, went out on the, wouldn't even feed them in the cities and everything like that. They broke corn on the railroad tracks to live by. What did they do? They had another 40 years. The church has suffering, went through everything, 2 wars in that time. A lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of effort. But there's a time that I believe God is moving in his church now to rekindle. In Joel chapter 2, it says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The latter rain is when it's harvest time. The latter rain, it's been growing up, and now the latter rain comes to anoint you into doing something for Christ, to anoint you to where God really wants you to be positionally placed. And Brother Ram said, now what would take place when God has begun to pour out the Holy Ghost upon the church in the last days? What would take place when God begins to pour out his Holy Spirit in the church in the last days? And he said, back then they said it's hoodoo, it's hypnotism, it's a mental telepathy, it's this, that, or the other. Why? Because they did not realize what God was doing. And they did not respect what God was doing. God wants to anoint a church and to cap a church off. That's why you got to have a revelation of the Son of Man to take a rapture. Because without a revelation of the Son of Man, you won't realize that you're an invincible army. When the bride begins to realize who she is and what she's here for, she will be an invincible army. And who are you? You are the Son of Man. You are God back in flesh. But you can't just be educated into it. God's got to speak it to your heart. You've got to hear the voice of God speak it to you so that you know it for yourself. When the bride begins to realize who she is, and there's your answer laying there for you in black and white. Who are you? You are the Son of Man. But you've got to respect what God is doing. In Proverbs chapter 13, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. A wise son is somebody that'll sit and listen to his father. Have we sat and listened to our father? I believe that many can say that we have. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. A scorner could come and just sit there and with a scowl on their face, laughing at everything and not get any kind of blessing. All they'll get is curses. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And that's what we want, isn't it? A good latter end. We want our latter end to be correct. And our latter end is to be so wound up in Christ until we are in full oneness with Christ. That God is so manifested in us until he's walking in our members and we're thinking like he does and talking like he is and acting like he is and living a life of holiness and not some kind of Tommy rot like all these fakers out there. Living a life, a real, genuine Christian life. Can we respect God enough to be concerned? Do we respect God, what God is doing now, to care? They were disrespected and they called them holy rollers. The newspapers waited to say every slander and dirty thing they could and put every dirty slang to it they could and things like that. And churches hee-hauled and laughed at it and made fun of them and turned them away and tried to keep them out of the cities and everything else with disrespect. And Brother Ray made this great statement. He said, believe it till it's proved wrong. Now that's a big statement, isn't it? Then when it's proved wrong, then you have a right to disbelieve it. Then don't associate it with no more. But as long as it's being proven out to be the truth, then believe it. Now, this message has been proven out to be true with signs and wonders and vindication and lives changed and testimonies and doctor reports and all around the vindication of the pillar of fire that we have hanging on our walls. Brother Rabbi said, God's begin to pour out spirits, our gifts upon us. We see it. Now, what is the gift of God today? What is the gift of God today? I believe the gift of God today. He said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost in us. We've got to respect that. We've got to respect it on every person it comes upon. We've got to give respect to God's divine gifts as the musicians come forward. When he sends those gifts, no matter how real they are, it'll never help us until we get to a place that we can respect it. The Holy Ghost is here. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost of a special anointing. The Holy Ghost to bring adoption time to the church. If we can respect that church, a message to bring us to fullness. Respect it when he comes, is what Brother Branham said. Because God is here to anoint that church. It's not emotion. It's not just putting something on, but it's the manifestation of the word in this hour. And we've got to respect it. The conclusion of the whole matter is fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. And Brother Bram said, you cannot have respect until you have fear. You got to have fear of God. And your attitude towards what God is doing determines the result. Let's stand to our feet and just praise him and worship. Whatever you have need of tonight, if you have a need, we're here to pray for you. If you respect God, respect him like that little Shunammite woman did. Respect him like Naaman did when he was convinced to dip himself 7 times in the water. and see what God will do. I want to challenge you tonight, this afternoon. Challenge you to believe God. Put him to the test. The devil likes to pose challenges, like that time that that minister put that poison out on the pulpit and said, if anybody here really believes in divine healing, let somebody come up and drink this. And that little man that was Brother Branham's pastor back in the day said, I accept that challenge. And he came up and guzzled it down, and nothing happened to him, because God, he respected God. And so God respected him. You respect God and believe God. Accept that challenge to believe him and see what God will do in your life, for your family, for your home. See what God will do for you tonight. Let's go ahead and sing.
Of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi.
Lord, he's said what you, he's echoed back what your word already says, Lord. And we come together, joining our faith together, believing, Lord, that you'll come upon the scene for our brother's knees. Lord, you know his knees, Lord Jesus, in his body, Lord God. And we're just asking, Lord, that you'll just touch him now, Lord Jesus. And I believe that he doesn't have to leave this place with any brokenness still in his body, Lord. That you're here, Lord, to meet his need, Lord Jesus. Will you come upon the scene for him, Lord Jesus, and touch him? Lord, I remember a little woman reached out and touched you, Lord Jesus, when she had an issue of blood. And Lord, you turned back and said, who touched me, Lord Jesus? And Lord, we're reaching out to you about faith, Lord. Joining ourselves in faith, Lord, believing, Lord God. And Lord, asking, Lord, that you'll touch back, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just heal our brother, Lord Jesus, and make his healing manifest in his body. We believe you, Lord God. We're trusting in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your blessing and for coming upon the scene for our brother now, Lord Jesus. Bless him, Lord Jesus. Believe it, brother. Just believe him now.
By the prophet of you see why I'm so happy. I've accepted the word of the Lord.
Hear our brother's request, Lord Jesus. And Lord, he has many needs, Lord Jesus, that he's laying before you. We're just trusting now, Lord God. It's just still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, Lord Jesus. Whatever our infirmities are, whatever our problems, Lord, you're here to meet every need. Lord God, you're the patcher of a broken life, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you, Lord, that you'll come upon the scene for our brother, Lord Jesus, and just patch up his broken life, Lord God, and put things back together for him, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know, Lord Jesus, the things that are wrong, the things that need to be mended, Lord God. And Lord, you're the one that can do it, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll come down, Lord Jesus, and work something out, Lord God. Lord, we just confess your word, Lord Jesus. We just lay all these knees upon the altar, Lord God, and we just lay everything before you, Lord Jesus. We're just trusting in you, Lord God. You're more than able, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just reach out to his daughter's life, Lord God. Reach out to her spirit, Lord, and begin to draw her back. Begin to woo her back, Lord God. Lord, whether she's here or there, it don't make no difference, Lord Jesus. You're still able to call and to draw, Lord God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just move upon the scene, Lord, as our brother has laid these requests on your altar, Lord God. Lay them before you, Lord Jesus. surely, Lord God, if we respect you, you'll respect us, Lord God. Lord God, grant it, Lord. You grant these requests, we pray. We believe, Lord Jesus. We come to you believing, Lord God. Now let it be done.
Can't you see why I'm so happy?
Are you happy tonight? I think we've got something to be happy about. We've got a message to be happy about. We've got a word from God. We've got an anointing from God to be happy about. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Sister's request, Lord. Surely it is a good thing, Lord God, what she has asked, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that you're more than able, Lord God, to seek out the lost and to bring healing to broken lives, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just reach out to this situation and begin to move, Lord God. And Lord, as we pray over this prayer cloth, Lord God, I pray, Lord, a special anointing will follow this cloth, Lord God. And wherever it's laid, Lord Jesus, that your word will be done, Lord God. We look, Lord, to you now, Lord Jesus, as we join our faith together, Lord Jesus, believing, Lord God, that you're the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, you're the one that can make all things right, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I ask, Lord God, that you'll move in this situation now, Lord Jesus. And Lord, our sister has confessed it, Lord, and she's come believing, and she's confessed her faith in you, Lord God. And she's respecting you now, Lord God. And Lord, I believe that we have a conduit open between us and you, Lord Jesus. Your word has opened up the pathway, God, for us to believe. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you'll come upon the scene now, Lord Jesus, for this need, Lord God. Make your word manifest now, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, as we go rejoicing, believing, Lord Jesus, that you'll make everything right, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We go rejoicing, sister. Straight from you, Lord Jesus, and we just come, Lord Jesus, joining our faith together, Lord God, and believing, Lord God, that whether they're in this building or out there on the street or in a hospital room or wherever they are, Lord God, that you're able, Lord Jesus, to draw them, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, you'll be able to move over this soul, Lord Jesus, and draw them back to you, Lord God. And we ask for healing in their body, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, that you'll just move upon the scene in this situation, Lord God. And Lord, as we pray over this prayer call, we just ask that a special anointing will follow it, Lord God. And Lord, that wherever it goes and wherever it lays, Lord Jesus, that your word will be made manifest, Lord God. Lord, we join our faith, believing, Lord, and coming to you with respect, Lord Jesus. Lord, honoring your word, Lord God, and we just ask, Lord, that you'll touch back, Lord God. Lord, that you'll fulfill your word, Lord God, because we believe, Lord, that you're still our high priest, and you're still able to be touched, Lord Jesus, and you're still the same. We thank you, Lord God, and we just go rejoicing, Lord. Bless you. Amen.
I'm so happy. I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Can't you see? So happy, I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed
Jesus, sister's request, Lord God. And we know your spirit is here to move, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, surely, Lord God, you're still able to move upon the scene, Lord God, and reach out, Lord Jesus, and claim those lost souls. Lord God, it's your spirit, Lord, that can move upon a lost soul like you moved upon the water, Lord God. Cause the old hard heart to become tender. And Lord, you've heard our sister's cry and her confession, Lord Jesus. We just ask, Lord God, that you'll reach out to this little girl's heart, Lord God, and begin to move upon her scene. Begin to draw her back to church, Lord Jesus. Lord, that's our confession, Lord Jesus. And we're complaining it, Lord God. We're joining our faith together, Lord Jesus, believing that your word is still true and that you're still able, Lord God. That's our confession, Lord Jesus. We come with respect to your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Let it be done, Lord God, according to our faith. We ask it, Lord Jesus, in your name. Believe us, sister. Go rejoicing.
I've accepted. Spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Can't you see why I'm so happy?
She believes you're on the scene right now, Lord God. And we feel your spirit and we know you're here with us, Lord Jesus. And our sister has come with a noble request, Lord Jesus, to take care of things in her life, Lord Jesus, and to draw closer to you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, surely, Lord God, you've given us the recipe to draw closer to you, Lord God. You're here, Lord Jesus, to rekindle, Lord God, things in our life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll answer our sister's request, Lord God, and just bless her, Lord God, as she goes. May she go rejoicing, Lord God, receiving what she has need of, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, and we just ask these things in your name. Amen. Believe us, sister.
Yes, sir, we've got something to be happy about tonight.
Amen.
If you've accepted the word of the Lord, we ain't accepted some kind of denominational idea or some kind of man's ideas, but we've accepted the word straight from God in this age. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Well, this afternoon, I hope you received a blessing. I hope you got what you came for. If you didn't, God's moving in the building tonight. Whatever you have need of, God's here to meet your need. God's here to meet your need just like that little woman that touched the hem of his garment. God's here to meet the need just like Naaman that dipped himself 7 times. God's here to meet the need just like so many examples we've got. See, he's here in the building. We respect it, don't we? We respect what God's doing now. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? To have access to all these benefits. If you've done sin, you can ask God and he'll... If you've done anything wrong, ask God and he'll forgive you. You remember that time Brother Branham said somebody was coming up in the prayer line and he said, if you can just ask God right now, on your way up in the prayer line, all your sins will be forgiven before you get up here. You think about a God like that that's so gracious to us that even right now, as God is dealing with you, if you can just in your heart just say, God, forgive me. I want you. I want more of you. And God is so gracious. He's no respecter of persons. He come down whether you're rich or poor, black or white. Know anything about the message or not. Only maybe if this is the first time you've really understood something. He's so gracious that he'll come down and forgive all your sins right now. Even in our midst. That's the kind of God that we serve.
Amen.
What a God. What a message. What a word that we've heard. Let's just pray and then we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful to you, Lord Jesus.
So grateful for your presence, Lord Jesus. So grateful for your anointing, Lord God. So grateful for this power that you've given into the church, Lord Jesus, to live a holy life, to change our lives, to change our thinkings, to take us from the world, Lord God, to mold us into your image, Lord God, to give us power to become sons of God. We're so grateful to you, Lord God, for what you've given into us. You've given us this word, the greatest message that was ever heard. The message that we've heard, Lord God, that's given us joy in our hearts, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, as your saints leave the building, Lord God, that they'll be feasting on the words that they've heard today, this morning, and this afternoon, Lord God. And Lord, may they just rejoice this whole week, Lord God, knowing, Lord God, that we've got something to be happy about, that we've heard a message, the message of Malachi 4. We're so grateful to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We just ask traveling mercies, Lord, upon your saints, Lord, as they go their different ways. Bless your people, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You're dismissed. Sing it as you leave.
Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted.